12. Right. But you know about Brother Larry got up here, and Larry Richardson was talking about all those heroes of faith back there in chapter 11. And I'm pretty sure Larry would agree with this, and Brother Gooch back there, if it wasn't for some of them old preachers that we was associated with in Cincinnati that stood by the stuff. Well, matter of fact, if Ozell hadn't preached like he did, you probably wouldn't got saved up there, Brother Gooch. Of course, God foreknows everything. You'd have got saved someplace if he meant for you to be saved. God wants to save everybody, but see, he foreknows the ones that's going to accept him. That's found in a lot of places in the Bible. But I thank God, you know, that we need to keep our eyes on the Lord and focus in on him. That's what I'm going to be talking about, because most of you preached about how we need to stand. And that's the only way we're going to do it. We're going to have to look to him and try our best to follow the leader. See, before all these video games and everything, us kids in the country, all we had was spin the bottle or follow the leader or hide and go seek or something like that. And follow the leader, buddy, you had to keep your eyes on the leader and imitate him best you could. All right, let's go to that 12th chapter. And I don't think Brother Gooch and I sung this little song, so I'll sing it. You didn't sing that Calvary song this week down here, did you? I always sing a verse of At Calvary, and then I go in on that. But now the Calvary song, I think I might have sung it over at the camp meeting. The Calvary song has got, you know, Calvary's got seven letters in it. And some man in Old Lachlan Baptist named Wes England wrote this song, and he took each one of them letters and gave a thought with it. But I lead up to this song with another song. It's the last verse of At Calvary. Oh, the love that grew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span. At Calvary, mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty. At Calvary, C is for the cross that Jesus bore. A is for his agony. L is for the love that nailed him to the tree. V is for his victory. Story. The second A is for all. Rich or poor, big or small. R means by his blood we're redeemed. And the Y is just for you. There's nothing left for you to do. He paid it all at Calvary. Calvary, oh Calvary, you mean more than any other place on earth to me. You're where my Savior died, that I might have life. Praise God for Calvary. Praise God for Calvary. Praise God for Calvary. Now, Wes didn't put all those praise Gods in there, but I figured one for the Father and one for the Son, one for the Holy Ghost. Because the Father sent the Son because he loved us. And the Son washed us in his blood because he loved us. But without the Holy Ghost bringing us under conviction, it wouldn't have been no conversion, would it? So I praise God for the Trinity. But in Jesus dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Amen. Oh, praise God. All right, let's read a little bit here, and I'll try my best to get out of the way real quick. I don't know, I guess that Brother Woosley said I'm quick. I praise the Lord for Brother Woosley. Now, I'll tell you this, Brother Woosley. He started helping me when he found out I was helping that Indian. Odell Knuckles was sitting on the front pew with me. And Odell, I didn't know he was a treasureman, but I was real friendly with him, you know. When I preached, a whole bunch of people come forward. And Brother Woosley got up and said, "We got some money around here." He said, "You people know we got money." He said, "I suggest we give $5,000 toward that work over in India." And they did. And Odell Knuckles, I done went to the foyer. I heard Odell talking to the preacher. "Hey, how's Brother Stewart doing this work?" Preacher hollered back there, "Brother Stewart, how you doing this work?" I said, "Social Security." Odell said, "I think we ought to help him." Well, when I got that mission work done, I called Brother Woosley and I said, "Brother Woosley, I'm done with that mission project that we was working on." He said, "You're still preaching, ain't you?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "You're still burning gas, ain't you?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "We're going to help you." So that's like saying sick 'em to a hound dog. I can't quit because some people don't want me to quit. And I know the Lord is not quite done with me yet. He's still working on me. I might as well tell you what I'm thinking. I heard a preacher, he's named Owenby. Preacher, this guy you ever heard? He said, "My brother and I went to a wood shop the other day," and said, "he's a wood carver." He said, "Let's get this big chunk of oak wood." Said, "Man, he bought a gigantic chunk of oak wood." He said, "I took it over to his workshop," and he said, "I went back down there 2 or 3 days later," and he said, "there was a most beautiful stallion that he had carved out of that chunk of oak." He said, "Man, it was beautiful." He said, "I looked at my brother and said, how in the world did you do that?" He said, "I just kept knocking off everything that didn't look like a horse." He said, "That's what the Lord's doing to me. He's knocking off everything that don't look like Jesus. And I'm still growing. And he's still conforming me to his image." And that's what he longs to do with every one of us. Praise God. All right, let's go to chapter 12 and the first few verses there. We'll read the first three verses. "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." It says, "Consider him that endured such contradiction of him of sinners against himself." Now here's the thought: "Lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind." Boy, that'll get you out of the Lord's work right quick. It has a lot to do with our thinking. Now, before, I just got 4 points on this. But before I get to the points, by the way, I call it introduction, some thoughts. If you take that word consider and look it up in the dictionary, it means to examine and observe something or another, so you can make an estimate. It said, "Consider him." So we need to examine Jesus so we can make a good estimate about, is he worthy to serve? Is he really Lord of all? Is he God in the flesh? Was he? Well, I think most of y'all know exactly where I stand on that, and I know where most of you preachers would stand on that. But now, the reason for estimating him and really looking to him and leaning on him is lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. Now, a good place to think of this, what the Holy Ghost gave me, was Romans 12, 1 and 2. He said, "I beseech you," and if you look that word up, it means like, "I earnestly plead with you," or beg you, to do what? "Give yourselves as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but what? Be renewed in your mind. Proving what is a good, acceptable, perfect will of God. Now I find three things there. We got to be willing to be like Jesus. Give ourselves as a sacrifice. Deny yourself daily. Take up the cross and follow Him. Then you can have a good service. You'll be willing to go to the desert, Brother Clark. You'll be willing to do whatever God Almighty burns your heart about. You'll do it. If you're willing to sacrifice and not worry about self, but deny self. But the last thing was sanctification. Don't be like the world. Be like Jesus. If I could just be a little bit more like Jesus, I'd get the job done. He's still working on me. He's conforming me a little along. But I'm a slow learner. Most of us are. All right, I got four things I want to try to just elaborate on a little bit. As we consider Him, let's consider His life. That's number one. Number two, let's consider His love. Let's consider His loyalty. And lastly, let's consider the liberty that only He gives. If the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. You know, us American people, we think we're free because we don't have no government that rules and reigns over us. But it looks like they're going to try it. Looks like instead of them serving us, they're going to want us serving them pretty soon. But most Americans, they think they're free. But the fact is, if the Son has not made you free, you're not free. You're still bound in your sin and on your way to hell. You're in that broad way that leads to hell and destruction. Many there be that go in there, but straight and narrow is the way that leads to life. Few there be that find it. But boy, that liberty He gives, honey, I'll tell you, it's something else. We'll get to that last point. But let's go back to His life now. In His life, you've got to think of three phases of His life. He pre-existed. How about that part of it? Huh? He said, in the beginning was the Word. Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And then verse 16 said, of His grace have we all received. Of His fullness have we all received grace for grace. If you want to stand, buddy, I'm going to give you something right here to make you stand. Now, I'd read John 1 for 50 years before I saw this. Why in the world did He say of His fullness have we all received grace for grace? He could have said of His fullness have we all received grace. That'd be good. But I like grace for grace. Because you know before you can have saving grace, you've got to have that submitting grace. So we got in Christ, we got grace for submission. We got grace for salvation. We got grace for service. We got grace for sanctification. We got grace for separation. We got grace for schooling. Remember, the grace of God that brings salvation teaches us what? To live godly, righteously, and soberly in this present world. Deny ungodliness and worldly lust. Yes, we got grace for grace. And how about the last one I thought of was you got sustaining grace, but how about succumbing grace? I've been there and almost done that, buddy. And His grace was all sufficient, honey. I was kind of looking forward to seeing my Lord. They said, we don't think you're going to make it. I said, well, glory to God. And they said, what's the matter with you, man? I said, ain't nothing wrong. Everything's all right. Yeah, I wasn't afraid a bit. I kind of looking forward to going on home. I love Him because what He done for me in His life journey. But He was the ever living one before the virgin birth. But then he lived a perfect life. Brother Clark kind of talked about that supernatural catching away of old Philip. Jesus is supernatural in every aspect, man. He supernaturally existed before the foundation of the world. And God foreordained that he would be the lamb that would be slain to take away the sin of the world. But not only was he supernaturally existing before his birth, he had a supernatural birth. Then he lived a supernatural life. And then he died a supernatural death. And then he came forth, supernatural resurrection. But other people raised, but not by their own power. He said, I'm laying my life down, and I'll take it up again, buddy. He's a supernatural God Almighty from glory. He came down here and proved who he was by what he'd done. Yeah, he saved to the uttermost. I say that from the guttermost to the uttermost heights. That's where he's going to take us. But why? Because the next verse said he's holy, harmless, and undefiled, separate from sinners. See, if he wasn't virgin born, he couldn't save none of us. He wouldn't be holy. He'd be just like us. But honey, when I look at Jesus, I see one that is completely and absolutely deserves honor and glory and adoration. That's what worship's all about, those three words. If you don't have that involved, you're not going to worship. You go, people that's already in heaven, go to Revelation 5, buddy, and they're not saying about, look what we've done. In verse 9, they're saying, he's worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof because he was slain and has redeemed us from every people, kindred, tongue, and nation. Hey, they're singing the praises of Jesus. They said he's worthy. In verse 12 said they joined in, I guess with the whole heavenly host, 1,000 and 10,000 times 1,000. And they're joining in and saying, worthy is the Lamb to receive power, riches, wisdom, and strength, and honor, and glory, and blessings. He's worthy because he's the Holy One. He's the one that ever lived. But he said, I was dead, but behold, I'm alive forevermore and have the keys of death and of hell. If you're still on the devil's side, honey, you're serving one that don't even have the keys to his own house. You need to switch. You need to turn over to Jesus because he proved who he was by how he lived. Now, we could say a whole lot about that, the life of Jesus, but I'm going to go on because I want to get done here and give somebody else a half hour to preach. But think of his love now. In Ephesians 3:19, it said it passeth knowledge. And what I think we ought to do is go there and look at that. I think if you got a Bible, it'd pay you to go look at what it says here about the love of God. Paul was praying for this church, and he said in verse 14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. See, he bowed his knee to the Father and of our Lord Jesus. See, these three are one. And he said this in verse 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Notice this, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, and the depth, and the height. Now, if you would kindly study on those four things he mentions, how wide is his love, the breadth? Well, I went clear to India, that slap across the world, and his love is just as great over there as it is over here. It's worldwide, son. And I think universal wide. When you think about the length, he said, I loved you with everlasting love in Jeremiah. Huh? Jeremiah 31:3. And then the depths of his love. Well, God is love, and David said, where am I going to go to flee from his presence? He said, I could take the wings of a dove and fly into the midst of the sea. He'd be there. He said, I could descend down in hell. He'd be there. He's omnipresent. You can't get away from him. The rock was just a solid old Indian. It's over here in America to me. Hallelujah. So his love is everywhere. And you know, no matter how high you go to the third heaven, his love will be there, won't it? And so he said, it passeth knowledge. But he does want us to study on this. He said he wants us to know in verse 19 the love of God, Christ, which passeth knowledge. Now, here's the reason. That you might be filled with all the fullness of God. The more you can understand about the love of God, the more godly you're going to get. And the next verse, I like it, says now, he's able, what? To do exceeding and abundantly above what we can ask or think of him. Praise God. Unto him be glory in the church. So what we need to do is to consider his perfect life and this love that passeth knowledge. Now, there's three simple things the Lord wanted me to mention about love, and that is the direction of his love. It's always to us. Look at John 3:16. Love the whole world. That's us. And then in Romans 5:8, it said he commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So the direction of his love is to usward. And then we see the demonstration at Calvary. That's why he allowed them to put the thorn crown down upon him. That's why he allowed them to beat him to a pulp. That's why he allowed them to spit in his face. He was demonstrating his love for old sinners. Old hell-deserving sinners. Jesus demonstrated his love and directed it to usward. But then you see the duration of it. It's forever, son. He loves with everlasting love. Now let's jump to the third point. The loyalty. We need to see something of his loyalty. To his heavenly Father, when he was facing the greatest crisis in his earthly sojourn, when he was facing Calvary, Matthew 26, he said, not my will, but thine be done. That's because he was loyal to his Father. He knew what the plan was, because he was God too. Some people said, oh, he said, why hast thou forsaken me? He didn't understand. They said, he didn't understand. No, he said that so we'd study it and find out why. That God had turned his back on his own begotten Son. Because he became sin for us. He had to be separated from God to pay our penalty. Because that's the penalty for dying lost is eternal separation. And Jesus suffered that for you so you could be delivered from the penalty. All right. How about his loyalty to us, though? But thinking about his loyalty to the Father, look at Philippians 2:8. He humbled himself, became obedient, even unto the death of the cross. Because he loved the Father, and he loved us. But he loved us so much that not only did he die for us, but the Bible teaches that he will never leave us in Hebrews 13:5-6, nor forsake us. We can boldly say, the Lord, my helper, he promised he'd never leave us nor forsake us. Now listen to me. It's almost unbelievable that he didn't forsake me because I forsook him. I thought I'd get away from the Lord. I was in the 82nd Airborne. And they drafted me in there just quick as I got saved, and I wasn't learning nothing anyhow in that little old church I was in. It had round table discussions. I called it nowadays, when I look back on it, shared ignorance. All we was doing was, well, I think this and I think that. Best God, praise God, we need somebody who knows what they're talking about in the church so they can teach the Word of God as it is to men as they are. We don't need everybody just giving their opinions. We need a preacher that'll tell it like it is, and we need to get some Sunday school teachers that'll study to show themselves approved unto God so God will get some glory in the church. Amen. World without end, praise God. That's the way he planned it. But he was so loyal to me, I can't hardly believe it. I should be in hell. But yet I'm enjoying the things of God. And He's blessed me on every hand. I'm going to mind God. I know some people think I'm crazy, but I enjoy it. I am blessed. I am blessed. Every day that I live, I am blessed. When I wake up in the morning, till I lay my head to rest, I'm blessed. I am blessed through the sunshine and rain, through sorrow and pain. Jesus still is my comfort and my guide. By His blood He cleanses me, and by grace He set me free. And someday I shall dwell by His side. I am blessed. I am blessed. Every day that I live, I am blessed. When I wake up in the morning, till I lay my head to rest, I am blessed. I am blessed. I have shoes on my feet, plenty to eat, and a home up in glory by and by. I have a new family here on earth. They're mine by our new birth, and we shall share the home beyond the sky. I am blessed. Oh, Lord, the half has not been told. Got all those kids, they're all smart, healthy, and saved. Bunch of grandkids. God just keeps a blessing me, and I deserve hell. Oh, I love Him because, only because, I know He first loved me. We could go on and on. How about 23rd Psalm? If you think He's not loyal, you read that. If you let Him be shepherd, honey, He'll guide you all through life and be with you in death and through eternity. He's loyal perfectly. So we need to consider Him. And I tell you one thing. You can't give up if you really start studying on this, what I've been preaching about. You can't quit. No, you can't do it. You'll stand. And having done all, stand. If they have to kill you, you'll still just, you'll die happy. Amen. You know, I hate to see that fellow that was converted from Muslim religion get, you know, put to death. The Lord might see fit to deliver him. But it's kind of like it was Hebrew children, one way or the other. He's a winner either way. It don't matter. You know, just get to heaven a little early if they want to kill us. I ain't going to worry about it, are you? Kind of like old George Bush, you know, when he started fighting those terrorists. He said, bring it on. Well, praise God, that's just about the way I feel about standing for Jesus. If they want to kill me, bring it on. They'll just send me to heaven a few days early. I'm going to be in heaven either. Anyhow, one of these days, one way or the other, He's going to come and get me, or I'm going to slip on down the valley. But I'm hoping that I miss the undertaker. I'm not serving the dead Jew, but the living Lord of glory. Amen. I'm looking for Him. Last funeral, I told the undertaker, he'd stand back there and I pointed at him. I said, I ain't looking for you undertakers, I'm looking for the uppertaker. And he laughed, he knew what I was talking about. All right, let's close with this last thought. I got a couple minutes. But the liberty. He said everlasting life in John 3:16, didn't he? Ain't that what He promised? Because He delivered us from the penalty. He is now delivering us from the power of sin. And one day, if you want to go to Hebrews 9, you can see this. Verse 26 said He appeared once at the end of the world. Put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. I mean, He took it all away. That's why John said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He took it all. People ask me how I'm doing. And for strangers, I usually say, all this in heaven too, I can't lose. And some of them will say, are you bragging? I say, yeah, on Him. Because it said the blood takes care of it all, and that's all I'm trusting. So I can't miss heaven. I'm on my way to that fair land. Because He gave me perfect liberty. The Son shall set you free, John 6:36. If the Son shall make you free, not just set you free, He makes us free. Ye shall be free indeed. Now if you want to study more on it, go over to Romans 8. No condemnation, because we're identification. We're in Him. Regeneration. Predestination. election, adoption, and then last, no separation. Who shall separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus? He said, I'm persuaded neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor heights nor depths nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. And so, boy, I'll tell you, if you consider these things, honey, you'll stand and you won't worry one bit about nobody or nothing. You just keep right on keeping on.
You'll be like an Energizer bunny.
Keep on trucking. Amen.
God bless you, preacher.